Chapter 8. Freedom. There is not much more to the story of William Tell. The death of Gessler was a signal to the Swiss to rise in revolt, and soon the whole country was up in arms against the Austrians. The revolt had been brewing for a long time, but the people's fear of the governor had previously prevented it. The people had taken an oath to drive the enemy out of the country, and throughout all of Switzerland, the rich and the poor joined together to prepare for a revolution. When the news arrived that the governor had been killed, meetings of the people were immediately held in every town in Switzerland, and it was decided that the revolution should begin without delay. All the castles that Gessler had built during his years of rule were assaulted on that same night. The last one to fall was one which had only been begun a short time ago, and the people who had been forced to help build it had a very pleasant time pulling down the stones which they had been forced to put up. Even the children helped. It was a great treat for them to break whatever they wanted without being told not to. "See," said Tell as he watched them, "in years to come, when these same children are gray-haired, they will remember this night as clearly as they will remember it tomorrow." A number of people rushed up, dragging the pole which Gessler's soldiers had set up in the field. The hat was still on top of it, nailed to the wood by Tell's arrow. "Here's the hat!" shouted Ruoti. "The hat to which we were supposed to bow!" "What shall we do with it?" cried several voices. "Destroy it! Burn it!" said others. "Let us set fire to this symbol of oppression!" But Tell stopped them. "Let us preserve it," he said. "Gessler set it up to enslave the country. We will set it up as a memorial of our newly gained liberty. We have fulfilled the oath we took to drive the tyrants from our land. Let the pole mark the spot where the revolution finished."
"But is it finished?" said Arnold of Melchthal.
"When the Emperor of Austria hears that we have killed his friend Gessler and burned down all his fine new castles, won't he come here to seek revenge?"
"He will," said Tell. "And let him come with all his mighty armies. We have driven out the enemy that was in our land, and we will similarly meet and drive away any enemy that comes from another country. Switzerland is not easy to attack. There are only a few mountain passes by which the enemy can approach, and we will block these with our bodies. We have one great strength. We stand together, and therefore we do not need to fear any enemy."
"Hooray!" shouted everybody.
"But who is this approaching?" said Tell. "He seems excited. Perhaps he brings news."
It was Rosselman the priest, and he brought exciting news.
"These are strange times in which we live," said Rosselman.
"Why, what has happened?" cried everybody.
"You will be amazed."
"Why, what's the matter?"
"The emperor?"
"Yes."
"The emperor is dead."
"What? Dead?"
"Dead."
"Impossible! How do you know?"
"John Mueller of Schaffhausen brought the news, and he is a truthful man."
"But how did it happen?"
"As the emperor rode from Stein to Baden, the lords of Eschenbach and Tegerfelden, who were jealous of his power, attacked him with their spears. His guards were on the other side of a stream. The emperor had just crossed it and could not come to his assistance. He died instantly."
Due to the sudden death of the emperor, the revolution in Switzerland was able to proceed without opposition. The next emperor was too occupied defending himself against his father's killers to think of attacking the Swiss, and by the time he was secure enough to do so, they were too strong to be attacked. So the Swiss became free. As for William Tell, he returned to his home and lived there very happily ever after with his wife and his two sons, who, in a few years, became very nearly as skillful at using crossbows as their father.